Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WYLL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Monday morning, everyone. Federal regulators are pledging to do all they can to shore up the struggling banking system and plan to launch a revamped program to inject capital into financial institutions on Wednesday. The Treasury Department, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, Office of Thrift Supervision, and the Federal Reserve have jointly issued a statement amid growing concern that some of the country's biggest banks may need additional assistance to survive the fallout from the worst financial crisis since the 1930s. So the Dow Jones Industrial Average now trading at 7,400, and it is up 35 points. The NASDAQ at 1434 is down 6.5, and the S&P 500 is at 772, and it is up almost 2.5 points.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Joining us now with a look of agricultural weather for the first day of the week is our very own Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, and first off, we're going to go down to South America, where they did see some rain across most of Argentina's summer crop region at one time or another over the weekend. Rainfall reached up to 3 1/3 inches along the Entre Rios-Uruguay border, 2.5 inches in both western Santiago del Estero and in Rosario Santa Fe. Amounts from 1 to 2 inches occurred in other areas from southern Cordoba through central and southern Santa Fe, and northernmost Buenos Aires to Entre Rios in western Uruguay. Argentina will trend drier this week, with more rain expected in the first week of March. It does not look like any major changes in the forecast that we talked about last week, although the table does suggest a few minor changes. Distribution of limited shower activity this week. Net drying is expected until the possibility of the weekend, when some showers and thunderstorms will begin to develop a little more significantly. Greatest rainfall is expected over the next week to 2 weeks as frontal boundaries push into the area. They will combine to produce rain in most of the nation's summer crop region at one time or another. It does look like there will be a little drying in some areas, but generally the worst conditions were reached early in February, and any production losses earlier this month and any further changes will be confined mostly to the far southern portion of Argentina. As far as Brazil goes, again, rain fell over the weekend, at least in the southernmost portion of Paraguay and into southwestern Paraná, into Rio Grande do Sul and Santa Catarina. Rainfall ranged anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to about 1.5 inches in Rio Grande do Sul, where rain coverage was 100%. One location near the Rio Grande do Sul, Uruguay border reported over 4 inches of rain, in fact, almost 4.5 inches of rain. A favorable weather pattern will continue to dominate most of Brazil during the next 2 weeks. Some net drying may occur in the northeastern grain and oilseed production areas, where a little crop stress may evolve. More likely, the environment will continue to promote crop maturation and help the early season harvest to continue. Rainfall frequency will be greatest in southern Brazil, and there will be no shortage of moisture there. Some areas may actually be a little too wet. Rain in southern Brazil will occur in frequent waves, with today through tomorrow being the first, Wednesday through Friday a second, and more frontal boundaries may impact Brazil in the first week of March. And all of the weather events will see most of southern Brazil saturated with moisture, and that could lead to some local flooding. As far as the U.S. weather, the Corn Belt, cold, dry conditions, except for a few snow showers downwind from the Great Lakes. Low temperatures fell below zero across the upper Mississippi Valley, so obviously still a long ways from getting out into the fields. But in the south, rain showers do dot Florida. The southern peninsula of Florida escaped the weekend's cool spell without significant freeze. Scattered frost was reported in central portions of the state, and cool, dry weather prevails elsewhere in the south. As far as the western states, another Pacific storm coming on, bringing beneficial rain and snow showers from California into the Intermountain region. February precipitation has slightly improved California's water supply prospects. Reservoir storage remains well below average due to the drought that began during the winter of 2006-2007. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural information on WILL is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 556 and a quarter unchanged. Last trade up 6 3/4. May, 563 and 3/4, up a quarter. Last trade up 7 1/4. March wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 522 overnight, up 2 3/4. Last trade up 7 1/4. July, 547 1/2, up 5 1/4. Last trade up 7 1/2. March corn opened at 350, down a quarter. Last trade up 9 1/4. July, 369 3/4, up 1 1/4. Last trade up 9 1/2. December, 389 3/4, unchanged. Last trade up 9 1/4. March beans opened at 864 1/2, up 2. Last trade up 18 1/2. July, 870 up 3/4. Last trade up 18. November, 832 1/4, down a quarter. Last trade up 15 3/4. March beans opened at 269.90, down 10. Last trade up $6. March soybean oil opened at 30.06, down 16. Last trade up 33. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities. He is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
I guess Brian Maple is away. And we thank you for filling in on the pre-open. I guess we might come back to you a little later on the open. I'm not sure how that will all play out today. But let's look at the pre-opens. What changed the trend overnight and put us in positive territory?
Well, looking at a little bit more confidence in the marketplace, the outside markets were higher in the overnight trade, a little higher stock market quotes, talk about more support there from the government and a little bit more optimism for at least some stability. I don't think we're out of the woods by all means, but some stability there. A little higher energy values help support the market. Then when we look at the raw fundamentals on grains, we saw that South Korea bought 108,000 tons of U.S. corn. Of course, China's buying some domestic corn to prop up their reserves. Then also, too, Argentina still in a position here where farmers are touting strikes. So with the market being incredibly oversold, we're due for an update here today, at least there, Dave.
When you add all those factors together, what does it mean for the opening call?
I don't know if we'll be as high as the overnight trade, but they're looking for corn to be 8 to 10 higher this morning, beans anywhere from 18 to 20 higher, and wheat anywhere from 6 to 8 higher. I imagine we'll hit the lower end of those ranges, and we'll see how much short covering take place. But the key is to open higher, trade higher, and make a serious attempt to close higher today.
You mentioned that that wheat sale by China. That seems to me very interesting. Is that the beginning of some bigger things working with the U.S., do you think?
South Korea bought U.S. corn. I was not aware of a wheat sale to China. But China's buying domestic supplies of U.S. corn or their domestic corn, trying to prop up their reserves in that country's side. I think they're wanting to help try to stabilize prices in their country, plus go ahead and build up some reserves to work with. But the key is the function of the market, you know, going back to Econ 101, is to take prices low enough to search out some demand. And the market seems to be making an attempt to do that, especially if the overall economies can stabilize.
I guess the purchase I'm referring to didn't happen today necessarily, but I noted that China purchased 30,000 tons of U.S. wheat.
They'll be nicking and picking a little here and there. As far as a significant amount of wheat purchases, we don't foresee that. Mm. If there's the business to come, it'll be more on the corn side of the equation, we feel.
Cattle on feed report looked fairly neutral to me.
Well, the thing on the cattle on feed and cattle inventory reports is that we're looking at a situation where we've got the lowest supply of cattle in the United States here since the 1950s. We've got a real tight supply. When you talk to producers out west, there's not a lot of cattle out on pasture, per se. So that confirms we've got lower numbers. Then plus, two, the wheat acreage is not there out west also for those cattle to graze on. We're bullish cattle. We feel once the economy can stabilize and resume consumer confidence and investor confidence, that cattle is probably the biggest play for the second half of 2009 into 2010.
Very quickly, then, what's it worth today to the upside?
I'm sorry?
On cattle, very quickly.
We're looking at a mixed trade this morning. Okay. We feel the cow could open 20 higher to 20 lower.
Thank you, Kurt.
Very good.
You're listening to WYLL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.